Praise the Lord. Well, did you bring your Bibles today? You can open them to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I understand you've been in a season of prayer and fasting. We will be talking about hearing God today. Hearing God. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, we find that you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I'm so glad that God is not distant in the sky somewhere. Christ is in me. We abide in him, and he abides in us. We have fellowship with him. God wants to have fellowship with us. And if you think about prayer, prayer really is communication with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not a big in big favor of one-way communication. True communication, true fellowship is two-way communication. And so why am I saying this? Because prayer is not only us talking to God. I find a lot of people that spend a lot of time in prayer, but they're never spending any time listening. How's that going to work out with your friend if you're the only one that ever talks and you don't ever listen to your friend? That's not much of a friend anymore, is it? And so we need to learn to develop both sides of this, asking the Lord, but also taking the time and learning how to listen, because he does speak to each and every one of us. In other words, prayer is not just talking to God, it is also God talking to us. Not only does he hear us when we pray, but we are his sheep. And the Bible says we do hear his voice. So you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, in a room, imagine you're going into a room, there's a party going on or whatever, there's tea or coffee, cocktail, whatever the case might be. But in such a room, there are many voices. But you can easily, in a room of a whole bunch of conversations going on at the same time, you can easily pick out your father or your mother in that room. You can even distinguish, maybe it's a family party, and you can probably distinguish your mom's voice from your mom's sister or your aunt. Although their voices might be really similar, but you know your mom well enough, you can pick out your mom's voice from your aunt's voice. Why is that? The reason we can is because we recognize the voice because we have spent time with that person previously. There are many voices in this world. Now, the Bible says that Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. He can look like, he can smell like, he can sound like God. But it's not God, it's Satan. So the voice can be very, very similar. Then how do you develop yourself to the place that you can truly recognize this is the voice of God? Even in situations where there is tons of noise going on in our lives, all kinds of different situations, it might be bills, it might be in-laws, it could be outlaws, it could be all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But it's still possible to develop our relationship with God in such a way that it doesn't matter what noises are happening, it doesn't matter what voices are happening, we can still be able to hear the one true God. Have you ever read a transcript of somebody's speech? Maybe if you've gone through a court cases, different things, there is court transcripts, there's different things like that. There are times I've read a transcript after somebody, and I've gone, that doesn't sound like that person. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How do you know, if you're reading a transcript, you're not even hearing the voice, but you're reading a transcript, how do you know whether that transcript sounds like the person that it's supposedly a transcript after? It's no longer by the tonal inflections of the voice. It is now by the content of what is there. When you know the content of what somebody has said previously, you will be able to determine that that voice which you're hearing today, does it align with the content I have spent time studying previously? This is why you will never be able to develop hearing the voice of God without knowing the Scripture. If you're not spending time at home in the Scriptures, you will never be able to develop what I'm talking about today. It doesn't come by sitting and listening on Sunday morning. It can only come by spending time at home in the Scriptures. The primary way that God speaks to us is through the written word. This is God speaking to me. And I'll just be very frank and honest with you. If we're not willing to listen what's black on white, we're going to have a very difficult time listening when there is a voice coming in the midst of all kinds of other voices going on. Great peace have those who know your law. That word peace, it means well-being in all areas of life. It's the Hebrew word shalom, and it comes from knowing what God has said in His word. There's a little story from, or maybe not a little story, but George Mueller lived in England in the 1800s, famous for building orphanages there in Bristol in England. He provided for 2,000 orphans every single day. Millions of books, tracts, Bibles published. And in today's money, it was millions of dollars that went through. He funded hundreds of missionaries, all kinds of different things happening. One time, they were out of food. But he knew God well through prayer. He's very well known for just not fundraising, not asking people for money. He would just ask the Lord, and the Lord would come through. One time, one morning, they're completely out of food. He's got 300 kids. He's asking the 300 kids, well, let's sit down at the table like we always do, and let's give thanks. As they're giving thanks, the milk truck passes by on the outside and blows a tire. They give the milk to the orphanage. And various food suppliers just started showing up bit by bit, and they had breakfast that morning. And so it's an example of a life George Mueller spent with God. There is a quote from him that I want to read. And I think they have it on the screen. He stated this, I seek the will of God. I seek the will of the Spirit of God. I don't know, do you have that quote? Can you put it on the screen? I seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. I've got so many friends that have been doing this. They're looking for the voice of God. They're not spending time in Scriptures. And they open themselves up to great delusions. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. The author of the written word is the Holy Spirit. God cannot lie. God cannot contradict Himself. It is impossible for the voice of God to tell you something that is contrary to the written word of God, because He doesn't change His mind. And so that's why this thing of knowing God through His word is of utmost importance if we're going to be able to hear His voice at all. Now, in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And here in verse 6 of John 3, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When we are born again, you don't get a new hair color or a new eye color, and your weight and your height don't change by becoming born. In other words, it's still the same physical body. So the transformation of being born again is not in our flesh, but Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. God is a spirit, and those who are born of him, they are born of the Spirit. Now in John chapter 4, we have Jesus and the woman of Samaria, and here, and she's starting asking some questions about how to worship and so forth. In verse 23 and 24, Jesus said, the hour is coming when we, the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people who worship him. In verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, if you're going to fellowship with God does not happen in your mind. It doesn't happen with your body. It happens through the spirit world. God is a spirit, and those who want to communicate with him have to communicate using their spirit. And it's in our spirit that he communicates with us. I hear Christians all the time saying, I feel like God is saying. I'm sorry, there is no such thing. I know it's a Christian cliche, but it is a false cliche because God does not speak through feelings. He speaks through the spirit. And from that cliche, we can go a little bit further and we can talk about charismaniacs. What is that? That's a Christian who is emotionally driven and not word driven. Because people, so many times, they mistake voices of emotions from the true voice of God. They're listening to auntie instead of to mother in that room that we talked about earlier. And so you have to learn that difference. How do you do that? Romans chapter 8. God does speak to us, and he wants us to hear him. Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. That's the word son actually is the Greek word children. You can translate sons and daughters. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons and daughters of God. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know that you're born again? Well, one way you know is from the Word. The Word says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're born again. The other way we know is here, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Anybody question in the morning, I wonder, am I really saved? Then you notice on the inside, there is a peace on the inside somewhere. What is that? That is not the voice of your emotions. It is the voice of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. That's how you hear from God. So you have to develop. And when you hear, you take what you've heard and you compare it to the written word of God, because if it doesn't align, then you have identified a voice that is trying to masquerade as your heavenly Father. And you cast down imaginations. So, the Bible does not say, Vidar, go to Africa. That comes through the voice of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. Now, it does say here how to treat my wife. You understand, there are full of instructions in the written word of God. If we're not willing to take the instructions that are black on white, there is not much use asking for other kinds of instructions and prophecies and all kinds of different other ways that does happen on occasion. But the primary way is the written word of God, and then our individual instructions, it comes from the Holy Spirit speaking in our spirit. Now, putting yourself in a position to hear. Here's another quote from George Miller on how to know the will of God. And he says this, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. I'll read that again. I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own in regard to a given matter. He continues, 9/10, that's 90% for those that are not mathematicians, 9/10 of the trouble with people is generally just here. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. So many people are not hearing God's voice because they don't want to. They want God to affirm what their will is. And God does not speak like that. You have to work on your own will and decide, I submit my will to God's will. And if you're not doing that, well, everybody's wasting their time talking to you anyway, so what's the point? Because a lot of people just want to hear what they want to hear. God does speak. Are you hearing Him? All through the Old Testament, there were periods of time when God rarely spoke. You find it in Judges, you find it in the intertestamental gap years, the 400 years at various times. And it wasn't because God didn't want to speak. It was because the people had entered into a time period where they wanted things their own way. And when they wanted things their own way, they got to a place where they were not in a position to hear the voice of God. That's what George Mueller said. 9/10 of people's trouble is just right here. You got a marriage issue. The husband goes to Pastor Josh and says, my wife. It's always like this. You know, the husband complains about the wife and the wife complains about the husband. And now we want God to affirm our viewpoint and what we're telling Pastor to do. Are we all still here? What we need to do is go, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. And it's not for me to tell my wife what to do. It's for me to ask God, what do you want me to do about this? And when you get to the place that you truly want to know what God wants you to do, you will start searching the scriptures and you will find God talking to you as well. Some people, they don't really want to hear God's voice. They want the experience of having heard His voice. Do you want the experience of having heard His voice? Or do you really want to know and follow what He has to say? There's a big difference. We have so many people who want to have heard His voice. They want a prophecy given to them. There are those that are sitting at home in the sofa wondering what the prophets are speaking about. But really, it's just an immature curiosity. They are not asking, what is God speaking to me? They just want to hear the voice of the prophets. That's immaturity, my friend. What is God speaking to me? What course of correction do I need to make in my own life in order to better align my life with the will of God for my life? They don't want God. They just want a goosebump experience. Too many people don't want to hear what He truly has to say. So we fast not to change God, but in order to quiet down the voices in our own life so that our own flesh won't be able to scream as loud, so that we can better hear the voice of. That's the primary purpose of fasting. Unless you're in a weight loss program, but that's not fasting, that's something else. But you fast things that speaks to you too loudly in order that you put those things aside so that you can easier hear the voice of God. Matthew 6:33 talks about seeking his kingdom first. Seeking first his kingdom, and he will add everything to us. You know, there is no limit to what God can do through a person who is fully yielded to him. There is no limit to what God can do through a person who is fully yielded to him. Are we spending more time asking God to do something for us? Or are we spending more time asking God what he wants us to do for him? Think about Abraham. Think about Moses. Think about Sarah. Think about the heroes of old. Do you know that there was nothing that could stop Moses? Pharaoh was the biggest king alive at the time. He couldn't stop Moses. There is no enemy that was able to stop the people who had heard from God, who went to go do what they had heard from the Heavenly Father. Right. Let me say it another way. The Bible has no failure story of people who were willing to do whatever God wanted them to do. That never, ever results in a failure story. That story doesn't exist in the Bible. And somebody wants to bring up Job. The story of Job happened over a few months. He went through some rough spots of life for sure. But at the end of the book, he quit asking, "Why, God, why?" And he started praying for his friends under the instruction from the Heavenly Father. And when he started listening to God instead of just talking to God, he prayed for his friends and God restored everything double of what he had had before. The story of Job is not a story of failure. It is a success story. Moses was successful, Abraham was successful, Sarah was successful, Job was successful. God only has success stories for those who truly follow him. And that's the story that God wants to create in your life. The question is, are you placing yourself in a position that you truly want to listen? In the second chapter of John, and I'll close with this today. They were struggling. They were out of food, out of wine at the wedding. And they come to Mary, Jesus' mother, second chapter of John. And here in verse 5, the mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Do whatever he tells you. There were some jars you used to wash your hands. They took the basin water and they carried it to the kitchen. In Jewish culture, that is an absolute no-no. Do whatever he tells you. Physically, carrying the wash water into the kitchen, that's a very simple thing to do. But there are some huge mental blocks in a Jewish mindset of doing such a thing. But when they did whatever he said to do, the miracle happened. I'm going to ask you to do one thing today. I'm going to ask us all to kneel before the King of Kings. I know these are harder wood floors. This is the King of Kings we're kneeling for. When it's the King of Kings, you don't ask what kind of floor they got. If this was in Africa, there might have been a mud floor, so you got a better deal than that going on today. I want us all to kneel before him, to surrender and spend our time, a few minutes, consecrating ourselves before the Lord. The keys are playing, there is no voice. I just want us, for you to spend your time with God asking, whatever issue you have in life, you ask God, "Here I am, Lord, send me. What is it you would have me to do?" Father, thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for speaking to us. My life is yours. My voice is yours. My body is for your glory. And Father, I concentrate. I will do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. Speak to us, Father. We are yielded to do your will.